scripture?
Verses 6 to 15. This is on page 984 on the Bibles on the table. Colossians 2, 6 to 15. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus in the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him.
Great. Thank you, Bramwell. Please keep your Bibles open at Colossians chapter 2 as we look at God's Word together. Now, I have a question for you. How will you seek to grow this year? How will you seek to grow this year? Now, whatever comes to your mind, it might be a few things. It might be personal growth. It's New Year. Happy New Year, everyone. Good to see you all. And with the New Year comes New Year resolutions that you've set as goals. Now, it's said, though, that around 80% of New Year's resolutions are broken by around mid-February. Hopefully, you can last much longer than that, maybe the third week of February, hopefully. But you might want to stick at it. Maybe it's losing a bit of weight just after the Christmas feasting period. Maybe you want to improve your skills upon something, etc. Or maybe you like to think about growth like cultivating instead. You've already hit those targets in life, and you want to keep at it. You want to seek to maintain those standards that you already have. Being healthy so that your body doesn't let you down, or staying sharp at playing piano, or keeping that handicap that you have on the golf course. But the question is, what about spiritual growth? What will help you to spiritually grow this year? What will help you to spiritually grow this year? Now, the Bible teaches us that to grow spiritually, we must know God. God, he is the source of life, is our spiritual hub. And so how do we grow spiritually in him? Well, to know Jesus is to know God. And in Colossians, Paul is telling this group how important it is to be in Jesus or in Christ. And we see that in our passage here this afternoon. Now notice how many times it says the words in him. See in verse 6, see in verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11. Look down at verse 12 and 13, you see the words with him. And then finally, in verse 15. And you see, Paul is telling us in the church in Colossae, which is in Turkey today, that he wrote this letter so that the Colossian people, and subsequently also us, wouldn't be swept up in fads, superstitions, or rituals, but we will know that the only path to spiritual maturity and fulfillment in life is in knowing Christ, and to continue knowing him. You see, Paul wants us to know that being rooted and built up in Christ is the key to growing and the key to a steadfast, satisfying life. A life that has stability, a life that has peace, and a life that has value and meaning. And we're going to look at this passage in two parts. You can follow along with me in your outlines on the back of your sheets. Firstly, we're going to see to be rooted and built up in Christ. And secondly, we're going to see the hope that comes from being in Christ. Okay, let's look at this first one here. Be rooted and built up in Christ. Now, Paul tells us that his goal in chapter 1, if you look at verses 27 and 28, just over the page, just look at it briefly. Paul says that his goal is to present everyone in Colossae spiritually mature in Christ. Not only through the hope of knowing Christ, but also encouraging them not to drift away and pursue growth elsewhere. So with that in mind, look at verses 68 of chapter 2 with me. Paul goes on to say these words to the group of believers. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So Paul here starts with the foundations. He starts with the basics of the Christian faith. And as any good basics, they lay good foundations to build upon. And so you'd imagine if Paul says this to lay a foundation, you'd think, okay, now you've understood this, it's time to go deeper. It's time to go bigger and better. But no, look again. Paul says here, as you first received Christ Jesus, the creator of the universe who gave his life for them to know God, well, Paul says, keep believing in him. Keep yourselves rooted in the foundation that is Christ and keep growing by being built up in him, so that you're established in the faith and abounding in thanksgiving. You see, the key to growth in life for Christian believers is the very thing we plant ourselves in and build our lives upon. It's Jesus. And yet Paul needs to remind the Colossians of this, because in the background they will have other voices who have other ideas about what helps us all to grow. They will say it's meditation. They will say it's more spiritually profound and more experiential and disciplined than it is to know Jesus. They will say it's hard work. It's having this ethic of giving your all and sacrificing everything for success. This is better than Jesus. And they will also say it's another religion, another pathway, another idea or philosophy. They will also say it's living for today because it's now or never. The holidays, the VIP concert tickets, the executive box of football games, and drinking in every bit of the London life. Some of those things are good, but the only thing that can give you true growth is the source of life. True growth, which comes in knowing Jesus, in knowing Christ. And Paul tells us that just as you've received him, so walk in him. Live out that faith every day. Don't live for anything which is not of him. There are lots of good things to do, but they will not help you grow in life or broaden your mind. Only Christ can help you to flourish, as in him is all that we need. And Paul goes on to explain in greater detail what that spells out for those who are in Christ. They have hope. And we see why the Christian has hope in our second point, the hope that comes from being in Christ. So what is it that makes being in Christ so special? What is it about being rooted and growing in Christ that is significant? Well, there's lots of reasons that Paul gives here why it's amazing to be in Christ. Last time I counted, I saw 7 or 8, but we're only going to look at 3 of them. You'll be glad to hear. 3 specific points here. Firstly, you'll see this on your sheets. We are filled with Christ whilst being in him. We are filled in Christ whilst being in him. Look at what Paul says in verses 9 to 10. In verse 9, Paul says that in Christ, the whole fullness of God, the deity, dwells bodily. Okay, so just for us to understand this, here we have Christ. Let's make this a little more clear. We have, I cannot write. That's supposed to say Christ, okay? Here we have God.
Okay? So,
God in Christ. Okay? Paul says that. Okay, but look on at verse 10. Paul says that we are filled in Him. Okay? So look at this. This is you. Okay? And what Paul says here is that we are filled in Christ. So Christ in here, God in Christ, who dwells bodily, and Christ in us. Okay? You with me? But throughout the passage, we also see that we are in Christ too. So finally, we've got Christ here as well. Okay. So this is what you have here. You have God in Christ, Christ in us, and us in Christ. Okay. This is your life. Okay? And so, if you're a Christian, you are in Christ. Christ is in you, and the whole fullness of God dwells in Christ. Christ, who is the head of all rule and authority, we see that here in verse 10, as we are filled in Him. And Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20 explains to us why that is so. He is sovereign over all things. He created, including us. And furthermore, chapter 1, verse 22, we are presented before God holy, without blemish, and free from sin. Why? Because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we are in Christ. So think about that. If you ever feel threatened that Christ isn't enough, if you feel like you need more, or that your faith is shaky, then think about that. Think about this. Where you are right now, if you are a Christian here today, right here, there is no more secure place than being in Him, than being in Christ, who fills you and makes you fit for His kingdom and fit to stand before God. And it helps us to see that we are also, secondly, set apart with new life in Him. Now, you often hear people saying, new year, new me, when it comes to January. However, there's a song from a band that I like that often sums it up. And it says this. So this is the new year. And I don't feel any different. You see, the fact of the matter is you can try and change something about yourself, but you will always still be you. But look at what Paul says in verses 11 to 12. Paul says this. In Him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And Paul is saying here that if you are in Christ, you can call yourself a new me. Because in Christ you have been raised to new life and set apart in new life with Him. Now in the past you did what everyone else did. You could do your own thing. But that made you an enemy of God. But now God has set you apart. That's what is meant here by circumcision. It's not by the old ceremonial practices that you might have heard about. But verse 11, you are set apart by Christ, because you were buried with Him in death, and you were raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who gives life. Now, one of the things for my wife and I to do this year is we want to make our home a warm and inviting place so that we can have people around and we can host them. Now, one thing I would love more in our house is houseplants. But the problem is, though, is that my wife, Lauren, is a serial plant killer. She is a threat to all botanical life. And to cure this, I have a solution. She's banned from looking after any of the plants in our house. Now, when a plant dies, it's very difficult to revive it. I wonder how many of you have thrown out plants here from killing them, whether it's not watering enough, watering too much, not giving them sunlight, or in case what my wife Lauren once did, blocking out all sunlight from them. Now, when that happens, what do? You all resort to having plastic plants, don't you? Well, God doesn't replace us with something plastic and artificial. God does the impossible with us. God spiritually revives us and gives us new life. Look at verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Look at that. We were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our rebellion, in our sin, that thing that alienates us and makes us enemies with God. The uncircumcision of the flesh, basically the way in which we live like the rest of the world in darkness. We were dead in that way. But God made alive together with him, with Jesus. You're given new life in Jesus if you are in Christ. And you're set apart too because you are now in Christ as well. So we've seen how we have been filled with him. We have been seen how we've been set apart and given new life by him. And finally, we see how we are redeemed and rescued from evil by him. Paul goes on to say this in verses 13 to 14. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Your sins, past, present, future, no matter what it is you've done, all forgiven by God. How? By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he sets aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So we're in January. As Phil says, it's probably one of the most depressing months of the year. Some of you might have got the January blues right now. The reason why January blues is called that is because January is the season when people are typically in the most debt after all the Christmas spending. Don't know if you knew that. But look at this record of debt here in verse 14. This record of debt here is worse than any financial woe you could ever think of. Back in verse 13, Paul tells us that we have debt against God, which is our sins or our transgressions. It's every little single thing we do which is an offense to a holy and just God. And that burden that we are bearing cannot be repaid by anything that we try to do to offset that. And it isn't just one or two light things that can be swept under the carpet either. Paul makes it clear how separated you were in your transgressions. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21 says that you were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. But God's great plan was to redeem you so that you would be rescued from those who ruled over your hostile state. And God's great plan went into action when his son went to the cross, where your sins, your transgressions, everything you've done wrong is nailed to the cross. Jesus pays for your life with his blood and satisfies the payment for sin before a holy and just God. This is good news. This is the gospel, which sets us apart and frees us to live in hope. You see, through this good news, through this gospel, we've been redeemed by Christ as we are set apart with new life in him so that we can be filled with Christ whilst also being found in him. You see, your life, if you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, is shaped and defined by the God who dwells in you, and your life, your meaning, your purpose, and your perspective is found completely in Him. And so what does this all mean for us today? Well, there's two implications that we can take away for the new year. Firstly, if you want stability and growth in your life, be in Christ. You see, you will never find eternal happiness and meaning in the things of this world. The only thing that can give you stability and meaning is to know the God who made you. The God who made Himself known so that we could find life in Him. And just as Paul encourages us to grow in Jesus, that can only happen if we know Him by putting our trust in Him and nowhere else. And a lot of the time we are tempted to believe that the grass might be greener on the other side. That there is always something better out there for us. A new opportunity. A new way of thinking. A new lifestyle to follow. A new thing to try out. But the fact of the matter is, it won't. It won't bring growth. Only Jesus can do that for you. Not just because He promises that He can do this in His Word, but there also comes that fulfilling and purpose that we are deeply longing for, something that is inside all of us. That lifting of that burden that we all bear, that burden that we have of trying to be right before God, that burden of wanting to feel like we have meaning and satisfaction, the belonging that God gives us of being adopted and known as a child of His, comes only by faith. And that faith is putting our faith and trust in Jesus, which gives us stability as we place our roots in Him who is Lord of all. And when you know Jesus and ground yourself in Him, well, what comes of that is that you begin to grow in Him. That growth means a spiritual dependence, so that when the world throws problem after problem at you, you might be shaken, but you're not uprooted. Because you are held secure in somebody who has you eternally in Him. Also, in Christ, proclaim the hope that you walk in. That's our second thing here that we can see as a result of this text. In Christ, we can proclaim the hope that we walk in. And Paul says this back in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 28. If you turn over the page with me. Look at chapter 1, verse 25. Paul says this, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints, to His people. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, those who are like us, are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And in chapter 2, just as Paul desires to present everyone mature in Christ, we see how Paul encourages and warns people to do that, and how we, as a result, are to become mature in Christ. You see, mature faith isn't being swayed by the longings of this world. Mature faith isn't being deceived by the latest ideas that seek to draw us away from the gospel. Mature faith points us to know Christ and to both grow in Him and walk in Him. And because you are in Christ, if you are a Christian and Christ is in you, then you have a hope within you that you can proclaim. So proclaim it. Proclaim Christ, the hope of glory, to those around you. And as you go into your workplaces this year, you might be tempted to stay quiet. You might be tempted to mind your own business. But the gospel cannot go out if it isn't proclaimed, if it isn't spoken of. And faithful walking in Christ doesn't mean denying your work in order to make Jesus known. But it does mean that you're not serving your boss in your company, but you're serving the one who is head of all rule and authority. You're serving Christ, who you are in. And the hope that comes from being in him is to be made known far and wide. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you, which means that his presence is directly and personally present in you wherever you go. You have been set free to live in the hope of the gospel. So make that hope known. You see, there's a reason why we want to proclaim Christ. It isn't just because of his immediate presence in us, but it's also because he's coming back soon. The hope that we have and share isn't just the security of being saved, but it's also the filled assurance of life and being satisfied forever. And tell me this, isn't that something amazing worth being shared? Isn't it better than some of the things that you read on the news today that have no impact on your life? Isn't it better than Taylor Swift's World Tour or an Oasis reunion gig that people are paying thousands of pounds for? This is something that is free. This is something that is paid for by God's love and his gift of grace to you to give you a sure and certain hope. This year, can I ask you to do one thing? If you're to make a resolution, make it this. Get to know Jesus more and more. Now next week we'll be returning to our series on Mark's Gospel where we'll see who the real Jesus is. Come along. Invite your colleagues to hear about who Jesus is. And if you don't know who Jesus is, then get to know him. Read God's Word. Read the Bible. Read one of the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It'll only take you a couple of hours to read one of them. And see who he is for yourself. And see why he is worth following. And root your life in him so that you can grow. Build your life upon him. And find hope in him alone. Let me pray. Father, we thank you who Jesus is, that we are safe and secure in him if we have placed our faith and trust in him. Lord, I ask that you help us today, Lord, to know Jesus more and more, to walk in him each day this new year, and to trust him as we don't know what life will throw at us. But Father, we know that in Jesus our lives are secure and safe in him. So Lord, help us to respond to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen.